Hello, this is Pastor Kevin. We were having problems with the microphone on the morning segment, so you only have portions of the sermon. It's cut, so you only have the parts that we did have, but there were gaps, and we just deleted those. So you don't have the full sermon, but we gave you what we have. Thanks.
And they take that from 1 John 5:13. These things are written that you might know that you have believed in the name of the Son of God, or something like that. Okay, chapter 5. And I'm like, okay, I get that. But when you're writing a letter, you don't go, or even reading a book, you don't read the last chapter to find out why they wrote it, right? Does that make sense? I don't know for the life of me why John MacArthur and others use 1 John 5:13 as the summary statement for all of 1 John. When, like, for instance, and it's in your notes, Chapter 1, verse 4 says, these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. Okay, so I believe he's writing to believers. One part of having full joy is understanding your salvation. That's in chapter 5. But it's certainly not his, John's not writing it with the purpose of just to give you evidences that you're saved. I don't believe that that's what this book is about. And you don't get that anywhere in the book when you start understanding what it's about. So I guess it's 1 John 1:3, it says this. 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. You see that? Remember? So that's at least one reason John wrote this. And then in verse 4 it says, these things we write to you that your joy may be full, that you might not just have some joy, but you may have all joy. Okay, and you wouldn't say that to an unbeliever, really. You're not trying to bring their joy up while they're still in a sinful state. That doesn't happen. Okay? This is talk that you would say to believers. I may come, Jesus said, I may come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You have to have life first before you can have the abundant part, if that makes sense. Okay? You have to have the birth before you can have the blessing of the birth. And that's what John wants you to have, the full blessing of that comes through the salvation experience beyond just being born. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write to you that you might not sin, or you may not sin. Okay, I don't know why someone skips verse chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 2, verse 1. And then jumps all the way to chapter 5, verse 13 to say that's what this book is about. I don't get that. You don't read any other book that way, okay? And over, John gives other reasons. Now, I did list it as one of them, chapter 5, verse 13, and I'll read it so that I don't misquote it. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Okay? Again, that's usually the larger group of people say, well, that's what the entire book of 1 John is about. And it's like, really, no. I would say that that's what 1 John chapter 5 is. Okay? But not the entire book. The entire book has a much broader perspective than that. So there's at least four reasons, and you can actually come up with quite a few more sub-reasons if you read it, but most of them are written as believers. And even this verse here, 1 John 5:13, says that you may know that you have eternal life. That might not be an issue of salvation. It might be an issue of theology, of understanding. Like, I don't understand salvation, so am I sure I have eternal life? Okay, it's addressing it from a different one. And then it says that you may continue to believe. Isn't that what every believer needs? You're to walk by faith, not just be born by faith. The just shall be living by faith, the Bible says. They don't just come alive, but they're to continue by believing in the name of the Son of God. So it's a lifestyle, not just a birth experience. So even that verse does not limit it to just unsaved people or saved people that are trying to, I mean, they usually give you a list of like, well, if you don't do this, then you're not saved. If you don't do this, then you're not saved. Or they approach it from the angle of saved people will love their brother. Saved people will walk in the faith. And it's like, well, that's really not true. They should, but it isn't automatic. That's the whole process of growing in the Lord that makes that happen. Okay? So anyway, I'm being honest because I'm in the minority view, but I think I'm right anyway. Okay? So I'll just leave it at that. Let's talk about two truths about God. And then I'm just kind of breaking this up a little bit so that you can see what's here. And we're looking at chapter 1, verse 5, and the rest of the stuff is in your notes now. If you want, if it's too hard to juggle your Bibles and your notes, the rest of it, I have the text in your notes now. But notice this, this is the message which we have heard from Him, talking about Jesus Christ, and declare to you that God is, kids, tell me how, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Okay, that's a statement. He's gone on to say, we've touched Him, we've felt Him, we've heard from Him, we've seen Him concerning this life, and He gave us this message, and we're passing it on to you. And what's this message? That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So let's look at two things there. There's two truths that come up. I'm going to erase part of this with my shirt, apparently. Okay. All right. Lynn, it might be better if she's not in here until she calms down. Okay, truth number one. We love kids. We just got to be able to hear. Okay, truth number one. God is light. Okay, it's not something new. That's part of the message. This is a message that, how does he say it here? This is the message we have heard from Him. Jesus says this. We have heard from Him and declare to you, we proclaim it to you, part number one, that God is light. Now, what is light? We talked about this before. Let's review it again. There's at least two parts, and I think these are the two major parts. But light involves, and I have dots here, okay? And it's right thinking and right, how did I put it here? Living, okay. Because I have two different words that I want you to remember more than these even, okay? It's what is true and what is holy. If you can remember what is true, light is what is true and what is holy. Is it going to stay on? I must have played with it, Lynn, sorry. Like I said, I can't see that light below there, so, okay. So truth number one, God is light. It involves right thinking, what is true, right living, what is holy. Those go together. You can't have one without the other. Morality will not exist without absolute truth. Truth demands morality because it tells you what is right and wrong as well as, you know, what's up and what's down. Okay? Let's dig into this a little bit. I have just a little more information. Right thinking is what is true. It's informational. It's what is accurate. When you're talking about light, you know what is right in an accuracy sense of the term. And then right living, what is holy. Now, right living may be a stretch because holiness is not just doing something, but it's a right perspective on things. But it's what is holy, what's moral, pure, doing what is right. Okay, so it has to do with, there might be the right answer as opposed to the wrong answer. That would be information. But there's the right versus wrong with regard to morality too. Okay, those go hand in hand. So God is light. Light is what? True and holy. What is true and holy? Okay? So remember those two terms. Now, truth number two. In Him is no darkness. And then it says, at all. Okay? So no darkness. Might have just said the word darkness there, I think, for you guys. No darkness at all. And I put the Greek word there that you've seen before. We talked about it. Oudemia. Oudemia. Not even one. Not even one tiny bit of darkness in God. Absolutely not one iota, one little speck of darkness. He is neither ignorant or inaccurate. He's not ignorant in the fact that he doesn't know, and he's not inaccurate in that he doesn't know correctly. He knows everything perfectly. Okay? Which makes a big deal with us too, right? Aren't you glad God knows everything perfectly? Anyone here want to start reciting everything perfectly? Not me either. Okay. And then right living, he is holy, completely, when you think about it, without sin, but he's for holiness too. Those may be hard to grasp, but he's for what is good and against what is sinful as well. It isn't just against what is sinful. Okay? That would be kind of neutral at that point. Okay? So I've written these down in your notes here. God knows and understands everything perfectly. He has absolutely no wrong knowledge, ignorance, inaccuracy, falsehood, incorrect understanding. God sees everything completely. He is light. He sees everything fully and completely and accurately. Second part of that, God is absolutely, because light is what is true and what is holy, right? God is absolutely holy. He has absolutely no sin or sinfulness in character, attitude, intention, or action, and rejects all that is sinful. Okay? So that's when you're talking about God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. He knows everything perfectly and He is in every way for what is holy and in every way against what is unholy or sinful. That is God as He reveals Himself. Okay? Now I put it all in one sentence, whether that it's any more helpful at all, but it's in italicized black in your notes here. It says, God as light, as He defines Himself as light, knows everything fully and completely, and He is absolutely holy in all His being and completely rejects all that is sinful. Instead of using the light, that's what it's talking about here. By what means do I walk? Am I using the light of God, or am I not using the light of God? And the other, only other option to the light of God is what? Darkness. Which again, doesn't let you know where you're going, how fast you're going, what the dangers are, where you've been, any of that. It absolutely leaves you without awareness. And if you say that I am fellowshipping with God, the Bible says, and you ignore what God is saying, God is very gentle and quiet. He says, you're a liar. That makes sense? Because you can't walk with God, who's only light and no darkness, and ignore His information in His morality, His holiness, and His truthfulness. Absolutely impossible. Okay? Look at the notes here. By what means do I walk? And by the way, it's not measured by words. If one says he has fellowship with God, doesn't mean anything by itself. Because what is it backed up by? What map are you using? Well, I'm not using one. That is what determines the accuracy of your statement. Are you walking with God? Well, I am. Okay, then you're saying then that you're using the map of God, the light of God, to direct everything you do and say. Okay? That's the light. The truth of God, the information of God, the holiness of God. All right? The Word of God here. Talking fellowship, quote unquote, but walking in ignorance, not knowing what is true, and unholiness, not wanting what is pure, is to be living a lie. And without hopefully sounding arrogant, I believe you can say that a lot of believers think that they're walking with God because they go to church. That's no more true than you're a race car driver if you go to a race. It doesn't make you that because you attend something. It may help you to do that, but Christianity is more than that. It's a lifestyle, and walking implies that it's what you do, right? It's how you live. Walking in darkness. Notice here, it says here, we do not... Do you have these in your notes as underlines that you have to fill in or not? Okay. We do not speak the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we are walking in darkness, we're not using the light of God, we're walking in darkness, we lie. We're not speaking the truth, right? We don't speak the truth. We lie and do not what? That's the next word, practice. We don't practice the truth either. We don't say the truth and we don't practice the truth. Okay? You cannot say I'm walking with God and ignore what God says. You can't say you're walking with God and ignore who God is. We're just simply not being honest. We're being deceitful. We're deceiving. And the Bible said, will even tell us in a little bit that we're deceiving ourselves. And we're drinking our own Kool-Aid, so to speak. Notice here, we did not practice the truth. And I put this in a little caveat here because I wanted to still bring out action, because action speaks louder than words. Words are part of action, understand. You need to speak God's truth as well as walk God's truth. That's part of action. But saying you're doing something is different than doing something. That's the point. But notice here, walking in the light then, as we look at this verse, if we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Walking in the light then results in doing the truth. You see that kind of the logic that we follow here on that? Walking in the light has to do with not knowing the truth. That's not an end in and of itself. You have to know the truth, correct? You have to know the truth. You have to know how to get to, you know, West Des Moines, or maybe it's the West Coast or whatever. But until you drive there, you haven't done that part yet. So truth is part of it, but you have to act on it. Walking in the light then it results in doing the truth. Because someone who walks in darkness does not use the truth to do anything. They don't know it and they don't act upon it. Walking in the light is doing the truth, or at least results in doing the truth. Let's say it that way. Bottom line here, the bottom note on your notes here, and then we'll take a break. Our words are validated or proven false by what directs our ongoing walk. And then I wanted to say that differently than by our conduct. Can you sin and still be walking with God? And you're like, well, I hope so. You know, I do. Because as you'll see, right after our break, you have to understand that you can sin in order to properly walk with God. Our words are validated or proven false by what directs our ongoing walk. If we're walking in darkness, that determines if we truly have fellowship with God. And again, I believe that could be a believer. In fact, I think it's talking specifically about believers here, okay? Unbelievers are in the dark. They can't be in the light, okay? Understand that in any sense of being aware of it, okay? There might be some residual morality because, you know, the laws used to enforce the Ten Commandments somehow or whatever. But it's believers. Are they walking in the light or walking in darkness? And again, it's like, well, I haven't chosen to want to walk in the light. You know, I'm not there in my life. So you want to walk in the dark and not know where you're going, what dangers are there, how you're getting there, or what anything's about? You think that's superior in some way? There is no good alternative to the light. Okay, there's no logical reason why you would want to... Do you go home and walk around in your basement at night with the lights off? Unless goes, of course. Okay? Do you do that? You say, no, why? I turn the light on as soon as I go in somewhere. If it's at night, I turn the headlights on in my car. You know, I want to see where I'm going. I want other people to have their lights on too so I can know what's going on. I like the street lights on. Why? Because it's smart. Because it's logical. Because it's dangerous to do otherwise. So why would you want to walk in darkness? There's no good reason. Other than you want to embrace a sinful life. The Bible, we talked about it a couple weeks ago in John chapter 3. Then this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That is the only answer, and there's no logic to even that, because it's like, why would you want to rebel against your Creator who you will give an answer to? Why would you want the impact of that kind of lifestyle to influence everyone around you against God? There's no logic. Am I fellowshipping with God who is light? Point number one is, by what means do I walk? Am I walking in darkness? I have no idea what's going on. I don't have information. I don't have awareness. And by the way, it's not what you see with your eyes. It's the truth of God that makes the difference. We're not talking about walking around with your eyes closed or in the dark. We're talking about the truth of God here. That's what we're talking about. You can have all kinds of earthly wisdom and be totally PhD in the dark. Okay? By what means do you walk? Are you walking in darkness? Or are you walking by means of the light of God? We're going to hit a second point after our break. So we'll see you back here in 15 minutes, 10 after. And we'll go to verses 7 and 8. So, thank you very much. We might even have a microphone work in the second hour. And we might try that. Ha ha.